Hello everyone and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. On today's show I'm joined by Arun Sharma. He's an awesome designer from New Delhi, India. Now what we spent today talking about was mindset, how to get over it, and also what it's like to be a future young gun. There's a lot of techniques in today's episode that I think will really help some of you fresh designers, you young designers out there, and also ways that you can potentially get over scarcity mindset and achieve bigger, better business goals for you rather than worrying so much about money and things like that coming in. Today's episode is also brought to you by Skillshare. Now, Skillshare is giving 2 free months away to every single person who listens to this show. All you have to do is go to skl.sh/cfowlerdesign or tap the link in below to get up to 2 free months of unlimited classes from thousands of experts. Now, this can be in graphic design, it could be in web design, it could be in learning how to be a better writer. Whatever you'd like to learn, Skillshare has got your back. You can also upgrade your font library, your design assets, and textures with Design Cuts, who are our second sponsor for today's show. You can check out their latest bundle and potentially save yourself thousands of dollars. All you have to do is head to the link in the show notes, which is cfowler.design, and I'm updating that every single week with their all new bundles. And I've got to say, guys, I've saved thousands of dollars on typefaces alone. They're constantly running awesome contests, and they have a great community behind them as well. They're not just here to sell you assets. They actually want to help you build a better design business. So thank you very much to Design Cuts and also to Skillshare for helping support this show. Right, let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Fowler Hour. Today I'm joined by Arun, future young gun and a scientist ex-designer. How are you today, Arun?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's the first morning recording I've done in a long time. And it's actually quite nice to be not completely tired doing the show. So for the people at home who may not know who you are, they've probably seen you on the Future Young Guns series, along with myself and a couple of other awesome guys. Now, what's your story? Where are you from? Tell the listeners at home a little bit about you.
Okay, so I'm from India, currently living in New Delhi. And I started my creative journey around 5-6 years ago, after I completed from school. And so the thing is, okay, one second. Do you want me to tell the whole story? Like, just a brief thing?
Yeah, well, you're from New Delhi. What have you been doing? So you said you left school 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what have you been doing since?
Because it's a really long, like, kind of story, so I'm not sure because...
Go on,
like,
give us the short version. Give us the short version. We can dive into it. Have a whole hour.
Okay. So around 11th or 12th standard, I realized that I didn't really want to do something that I was really kind of... felt good doing, which is like basically art or design. And I read this article in a magazine, it's a tech magazine about video game design, and I was like very stoked about it, and I was like, I'm gonna do this, I'm not gonna do engineering or anything. So fast forward a couple of months, I kind of convinced my parents somehow to let me go and do this in Bangalore, and I went to a kind of like a very low-level institute just so I can satisfy my parents with the degree rather than, like, you know, really trying to get into a good college. And my main goal was to get more work experience and exposure, because before this I was a casual Photoshop user. I didn't really knew anything at all, no fundamentals, and at that point I didn't even know that there are specific design colleges in India, which I know now. So from there I kind of started my journey, and I was lucky enough to get the right opportunities at the right time. And basically, I got into design around March 2014. I got my first job as a designer, in-house designer. And from there, since then, I've been working as a designer.
That's awesome. So it's kind of gone, you've gone through a lot of little different stages to get to where you are.
Yeah, exactly. So
With the in-house position, mm-hmm. So a lot of people who get in touch with me ask about, well, is it better to kind of get an in-house position to start with? And even how do you apply to an agency or get that kind of role? Especially, as you say, since you were more of a casual user and then you've worked your way up, what do you think is, what helped you get that in-house position? Was it just a good portfolio? Was it people skills? What was good?
It was a mix of both. So I'll tell you what, people who think that you have just good work and you can get and like get any job or any kind of position anywhere, are really not really thinking straight. You really need to know how to sell them as well, yeah. Right? Because I was in competition with two other people who were much senior than me. They were about to complete their degree and I was still in third semester. I still had 1.5 year to go. But the reason why they picked me was first thing, I was able to kind of talk my way through what I have done till now and more into like kind of explain my reasoning behind all the work rather than instead of just talking about color theory and typography and things like that. Because when people kind of want to hire you, they're not really interested in how you get the work done rather than like what kind of work and like, you know, basically they are more interested in you rather than the, you know, the work that you have. So that was my kind of shortcut. Like you can say, yeah, you know, that was a good, yeah. So it was really me faking about like most of the stuff. And I learned most of it on the job. I mean, 2 years in my professional journey, I didn't really know anything about design fundamentals. Like, you know, all the 12 typography principles, all those things say kind of, I learned them on the job. It was basically that. I was really good with software at that time. I mean, even better now, but I didn't really know anything about design at all. It was just softwares. And that's kind of, you know, how I got into design.
It's a really interesting way that you've just said that you faked it. Although I think what the people who your employers probably saw in you, which is what you're saying, is it's about people. It's about finding the people who fit the company rather than just people who have the skills. Because you can hire an amazing designer, but if they're a complete asshole, then what's the point? Like they're just they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to take on feedback. They're not going to work well with a team. So what you've found and kind of you've dug your way in through is by being a nice, pleasant person who's eager to learn. And I think that's what a lot of people, one of the big key factors that people miss from when they either leave university or they're going to apply for their first job is that they think that their portfolio is going to be the only thing that sells them, the only thing that gets them the job. And that's just not true.
Yeah, that's not true.
So when it comes to your in-house position, you've been there for a couple of years, you've been learning all this stuff on the job. What happened next then? Because obviously, you're working. Where did you say? Is this in New Delhi still? Is this local to you?
No, that was in Bangalore. I was in Bangalore for 6 years. I worked there for around 4.5 years. I worked in Bangalore, and after which I decided to start my own thing. I worked full time freelance for 4 months. But I kind of had a lot of like issues going on at that time, financial issues. So I kind of had to push back and get a job again. So now I'm again in-house and also part-time freelancing.
Are you finding that now you've done both, working as a freelancer and in an agency, do you have a preference over which you'd
I personally believe that I'm still not ready to be a full-time freelancer. The main reason for it is I see myself as, like, I don't think I have that kind of discipline right now. You know, I kind of want to grow more as a person. Kind of get more disciplined, kind of manage more time in a better way. And then, you know, because right now, if you talk just financial numbers, I'm earning as much as I'm earning in my day job. And, you know, I can, it's not really, and I'm only doing freelancing for 5 hours a day, right? So the main key thing is when people kind of, that's what I learned when I did freelance, full-time freelance for the first time. I learned this, it looks easy, but it's really not easy at all. Because you have to manage a business, you have to do the work, you have to do it on time while being in your bedroom, because you can't really, you know, nothing motivates you. Because if you're going to an office, or if you're working someplace else, there is a factor which kind of pushes you, that you have to go in office on time or things like that, right? So I would say, like, to a lot of people, like, look into yourself. If you really believe you have the discipline, then go for it. Like, you know, it's not that difficult if you have the discipline, but it's really difficult if you don't have that discipline of, like, you know, doing things without anyone telling you to how to do it or when to do it.
It's such a hard divide though, isn't it? The idea that your computer or your workstation is either in your bedroom or in the house that you live in. And without having that hard divide of leaving the house and going to the office, some people find that really difficult. As you say, they need a way to actually go to work. And yeah. I've heard stories in the past of writers and designers who put on office attire, like a suit or a jacket or a shirt or whatever, leave the house, walk for 20 minutes around the block, and come back into their house prepared to work. That's the only way they can get into the mindset.
Yeah.
Like they can't. I'm pretty good at kind of waking up in the morning, following a routine, and then sitting down and doing work for X amount of time. But that's taken 2 years to get used to.
Yeah.
Like I would just hop around between video games and designing and emails and YouTube videos for like there was a period where I would watch Netflix while designing. And I realized very quickly that although I've watched the entirety of Peep Show, although I've watched the entirety of Sons of Anarchy, I've not actually done very much work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a time where I actually uninstalled every game that I had. And I was like, only thing I'm going to do is just work, you know, because I kind of feel that if I had games on a computer, I'm not going to get anything done. But the reality was, even without them, I was finding other distractions. So, you know, it's a very internal thing. It's not an external factor. I mean, if you have games on one side and work on the other side, and if you are someone who is disciplined, you're going to choose the right thing at that point in time. I mean, if you're chilling out in like 11 p.m. or something, going about to go to bed, obviously you can watch YouTube video. No one's stopping you from watching a YouTube video or something, right? But if it's 3 p.m. in the afternoon and you have a presentation at 5 p.m., and you're still playing, that's not a good thing to do, right? So you have to kind of internalize and introspect a lot if you really want to grow as a person.
Have you heard of the Pomodoro technique?
No, I have not.
Okay, so this might be useful. I don't know if it's useful for you, but I learned this a couple of weeks ago, and it's a system that my parents used when I was a kid to like do reward and work type stuff. And I've only realized since there's actually a real thing where it... Mm-hmm. You break your work down into, say, 25-minute or 30-minute chunks. You set a timer. You turn on blockers or whatever it's going to be that prevent you from accessing all the distractions. And then you do 30 minutes of solid work and then do, like, a 5-minute break to stretch your legs or do something else. And then do that and keep repeating that on and off and on and off. So over, like, an 8-hour period, you've maybe had like half an hour, 45 minute breaks in between, but you'll feel more productive. Do you think that kind of thing might work for someone who's not disciplined?
The thing that I'm following right now is because since I have limited amount of time, I can't really waste time now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's been what, like 2 months since I haven't played anything at all. Yeah, so the thing that I'm following is like I had therapy for it, and what the technique is that you ask yourself, like, because since I'm the kind of guy who really knows, like, you know, it's kind of self-aware when I'm doing the wrong thing. So yeah. I kind of ask myself again and again, who am I being right now? Because if you say that out loud and if you stop and think about it, you're gonna actually do the right thing at the right moment. Because if I'm, let's say it's 11 p.m. and next day I have to present something and I'm like, hey, I have to do this presentation. It's not going to take long. It's going to take only half an hour, but let's play some game first. And then I'm going to do it, like, you know, while I'm going to bed or something. But once I sit down and let's say I played for like 15 minutes or something, then I'm going to, you know, snap. And I'm like, who am I being right now? Am I being responsible? And then I'm going to shut down the game and I'm going to do the presentation first and whatever it is. Right. So it is very hard to get into, but, if you're the kind of person who really wants to achieve their goals, then this is what I found, you know, helpful. Just asking yourself, are you being responsible?
And what do you do when you're feeling like you're not? You're not scolding or punishing yourself for it?
No, I'm not punishing or anything. I just close the thing off and then get back into design. And once I'm in the flow, because see, while I'm designing, while I'm creating something, I really love doing it. So once I get into the flow, I don't really think about anything else. It's not like, hey, one icon is done, so let's play some game and then I'm going to do the other four later. It's never been that. It's mostly just getting to start that, you know. Once I'm in the flow, I'm really not thinking about anything else.
Yeah, so that's something to take away, people listening at home, is that although you could be distracted, I get distracted by Twitter a lot. So because I have two monitors, for some reason, I'll be working on one, I'll have something else on the other, and then I'll just notice myself, go over to the browser, open a new tab, and just punch in Twitter. And I'm like, I don't know why I just did that. There's nothing to see here, but yeah. it's that force of habit, isn't it? And when you break that system, you don't punish yourself for it, and you get into the flow, as you've said, mm-hmm. your focus like completely changes.
Yeah.
Your yes. ability to be productive and proactive completely changes. And it's such an odd mm-hmm. mental state to get into.
Yeah. Yeah. So, there are times when I really don't, I mean, there's also a talk that I, there was a TED talk, I can't remember who it was, like, I'm really bad with names, but it was really nice on procrastination. Like, a lot of people who procrastinate, they're not really lazy, but they're kind of overwhelmed. And I find myself in that position a lot. So, like, I have a project to do, and I have to start the research and whatnot. And a lot of times it's that starting point. Like, you know, I just need to get the starting point. Once I'm there, I'm really off. Like, you know, so I find myself procrastinating in that way rather than like not really try, like, you know, want to do the work or something.
So that sounds to me, I think I know which one you're talking about. I'll put a link to the TEDx. I think it's a TEDx guy who's done a bunch of procrastination talks. But I'll put him in the link in the description. But the thing I've noticed, and kind of bouncing off what you've just said, is that it's not that you're lazy, but it's that you feel anxious or you have self-doubt because of the risk of failure. That's definitely something I feel, is that I will sometimes put off starting a project because I'm worried that it won't come out exactly how I want it to.
and a lot of times also, I mean, I really did 2-3 therapy sessions for this, like, you know, trying to find that focus or trying to break that, you know, distracting mental state that I was in. So what I did, like what my therapist told was, there's another thing called doing the work in your mind. So once you get a task or a project, if you kind of start just thinking about it, hey, it's going to look like this, it's going to be that, or, you know, trying just design it in your own mind rather than like real thing. So the thing is, mentally, you are in a state where your mind thinks you already done the work, you know?
Yeah, I see.
So the key to that is once you are like, you know, thinking about it, stop thinking and actually start doing. So if you're thinking about, hey, you know what, this logo could look like this, stop right there and then jump on the computer or your like keypad or whatever, like notepad or whatever, and then just do it right there, like, you know, whatever mental image you have. In that way, you really get into the flow of working rather than like finishing it in your own mind.
Yeah, that's a really good technique, actually, to be able to start a new project. And one of the things I find difficult, and I'm sure up until this point, it sounds like you've kind of nailed this by now, but the ability to have all these ideas in your mind and then feel like you're not executing them properly. And it's probably because you're doing what you've just said. You're overthinking it too much in your mind. Your brain thinks you've already finished it. And then when you come to do it, you can't put, because you haven't done the steps, you've jumped to the end conclusion.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are times still, like, you know, where I have already finished some project in my mind and it takes me around a day or two, or like, you know, kind of get back from there and really get into the work. You know, I'm still struggling with that sometimes, but it's not as bad as it was before, where I would like just stall it for like a week or something, you know, like, hey, let's do this because, you know, mentally it's already done. You know, I just have to finish this. And, you know, I'm going to draw this and draw that and done, but it's not really that simple. So, yeah, I'm still like, you know, going through, but yeah, it's better now.
Yeah, that's definitely some techniques to take away for the people at home, is that think about, well, if you start thinking about it too much, just get on with it instead.
Yeah.
And also try and break your work down into chunks that are manageable. And if you're like me or you need something else on in the background, put music on. Don't put something visual on. If you're a designer, if you're trying to do visual work, put something else on. So put an audiobook on, put a podcast on, put some music on. And that way your visual brain is still focused in on what you're doing. And although sometimes I find that listening to music can be distracting in terms of your thought process, it can actually help you get into that state of flow because you get into the rhythm, don't you?
There was a study, I can't remember the source again, but I really read this that when you're doing repeatable work, like let's say just exporting some files or things like that, then music can actually help you, you know, trying to make it not feel boring. But if you're really doing some thinking work, really want to concentrate on something, I wouldn't advise putting on music, because that will be like really distracting. You're not going to get anything done then.
So. Yeah. So if you're a logo designer, don't put anything on, or try not putting anything on while you're doing your concepts and your sketches. Yeah. But when it comes to exporting and you say tidying designs up and all that type of stuff, slap on some drum and bass.
Yeah.
No, it's one of the things I learned very early in when I was in college. So college UK is like end of high school. So 16 to 18 years old, going through my last qualifications that I did. I found a study that basically explained that if you listen to heavy metal music, it helps improve your memory.
Okay.
Now, it obviously you can't listen to it for very long, but in small bursts like you would when you're studying, heavy metal improves your retention for short-term and some long-term memory. So, you know, maybe that's why I listen to a lot of heavy metal and then completely failed at my exams. But anyway, moving on. That's some really good techniques to get the workflow for sure. Yeah. So in the last few weeks, we've kind of, well, actually, before we talk about where you want to take things in the future, let's talk about the future Young Guns. Let's talk about being a young gun under Chris's wing. And we're not going to talk about any of the projects that we're working on for the future videos. But we can talk about the stuff we've already done. And so how did you first meet or talk to Christo?
Oh God. All right.
Let's start there.
Yeah. So, around June, 2017, June, or I think May, June, somewhere around that time in 2017, I stumbled upon the future. I mean, they still had like 120K subs or something. And, I really loved his content, and I was like, really being active in the community, like joining all the live streams and things like that. But one thing I really did was like, he used to talk about all these like supporting the channel and like, you know, they're still struggling on things like that. So what I would do is that in every live stream, if I had to ask something, I wasn't going to ask in super chat, be it $5 or $10 or whatever I could afford at that time. But I would never really like, you know, post a question without like, you know, donating something. So that kind of like, you know, I think they liked it a lot. So they noticed the name Scientist X Design in the chat, and like, you know, every time I would ask something or donate something, they would really like, you know, like that. And the first time I got on the show was in this, I think the same stream as you, it was Instagram portfolio review.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I was in there. So they recognized me, and I mean, Chris gave me a few pointers and things like that. And I think the moment he actually, you can say, remembered my name was that I accidentally had him like one of my photos. And So after that, I was on another live stream with a logo design critique. They critique the Scientist X Design logo. And it was I was one of the top fans, like community members. And I was the one of the first one to do the sustaining member thing, $5 a month and things like that. And then around in September, I messaged Chris. This was the first time I messaged him, personally, that I told him a bit of my story that, hey, I keep donating and things like that. And I asked him, would he be willing to give me half an hour of his time for, I wouldn't say the exact amount, but it was lower than what he was really charging because I couldn't afford it. And I told him that I donate and I support the channel and I'm going to keep doing it. You know, I just need your time. And just half an hour would be enough. Like, or even if it's like 20 minutes, I'm okay with it. I just need your time. I really need your help. And to my surprise, he agreed. And he was like, don't ever tell anyone that I gave a discount, because I never give discounts.
Well, I'm afraid the cat is out of the bag.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to tell anyone. And that's why I didn't say the exact amount, because it was...
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Much, much, much lower than what he was charging. He was charging $500 an hour at that time. And he was like, okay, fine. So I sent him a donation to the future, whatever number that was. And then we got on a call. He actually gave me more time than I asked for. And that was really surprising for me, like, you know, to see that. And he helped me with some stuff. And that's how I got in touch with Chris. And then like around in December, he asked me, like, I'm thinking about this thing, about, you know, future Young Guns and things like that. And I was like, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't I be a part of that? And then he added me to the group and I see you. And I'm like, what the hell, dude? Connor is here. And I'm like, yeah. And I was like, holy shit, dude. This guy has like 30K followers. And I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I'm not going to be able to compete. And I asked Chris, like, you know, why did you pick me? And he told me a few things that he liked about me. And I was like, I was still really, you know, not convinced. I mean, I feel it's the same thing with you when, like, you know, you were asking for guests on podcasts, and I jokingly replied to your story that, like, I would come and lol and whatnot. And you agreed. And I was like, what the hell? I was just joking. And I didn't really expect that.
It seems like you stumble into a lot of these things, Arun.
Yeah. It's more to do with, I don't know if you call it superstitious or whatever, but I feel like if your really intentions are right, if your intentions are good, people are gonna, like, you know, like get you to opportunities. Like, I mean, I have always felt that I got the right opportunities at the right time.
Yeah.
Only because not just because that I really wanted to be selfish and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna step, like, you know, use people as stepping stone or something. It was more genuinely like wanted to try something, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the key, that, you know, really want to learn from people, really want to try something. So
yeah, I having known you for a year at this point and done multiple recordings, and we've been back and forth in contact for that time.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a bad bone in your body. Like, I really don't. And I think, yeah, you're right. I think when you put out this positive intention, you're not going out of your way to be malicious or angry or negative towards anybody. You're just mm-hmm. being who you are and trying to explore and grow as a person. And I think that makes a big difference. And in the same way you said at the start, when you got that job in the in-house agency, mm-hmm. a lot of that personality probably shone through then, in the same way that Chris saw that when he asked, would you like to be part of this new thing that we're doing? And I'd like to think that that was the case for all of the guys in the group, for Spencer, Sharif, for Sean and myself, is that mm-hmm. it wasn't just the design capabilities they were looking for. And I think looking towards the second season with all the female designers, they all look amazing. And Chris was saying that they have some really strong personalities and designers on for that. And I can't imagine for one second it was based entirely on design work. Not for one second. It would be based on qualities like you've just described. You're going out with good intention
because
trying to make a difference.
Really, tons of designers who are like way, way out of our leagues. Like, you know, if you really wanted to bring really good talent, like, there's like shit ton of people on Instagram with, you know, so much good work. Like, just like you look at their feeds and you're like, holy shit, man, this guy's like on some different level, right? Like I thought with you, right? So that's the thing. I mean, it's not really about just the work. It's also has to do with your intentions and the personality that you have.
Yeah. So now that we've been doing this, so I don't think I've ever told anyone the story of how I got on the Young Guns. Would you like to hear?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, why not?
So I don't remember when this was. I don't have Twitter on my phone. I can't have a look. But about the same time, I think must have been like middle of 2017, maybe slightly after that, I found The Future and was following and doing all that stuff and obviously checking in when I could and all those live stream things. And Chris, I think he said they were looking for some summer mentors or something, interns or something like that. And I sent Chris kind of a message being like, if I can have the internship, I will fly and house myself in LA for the 3 months or whatever it would be for the summer. Because at the time, I was in a bit of a weird rut and wasn't really getting things done in the way that I wanted. The client stuff wasn't coming in very well. I wasn't really achieving very much in terms of, or didn't feel like I was achieving very much. I think I probably was, but I just didn't feel that way. And I saw the opportunity and I was just like, stuff it. Let's just do this. I have enough money in savings. I looked up how much it would cost. I'd still have money when I got back. Like, let's just do it. And Chris, I think he just sent me a message back and was like, send us a video of you on video or just talking and doing whatever, and we'll consider it. And I obviously, okay. I assume he didn't pick on that because, pick me for that particular thing, because I would have had to flown and spent like 3 months living in the States. But after that, around the Christmas time, I think it was just before or just after Christmas.
Yeah, it was around December.
Yeah. And Chris reached out and said, I'm thinking of doing this thing. Would you be interested? At the time, no idea what it was, what it would entail. And he said there would be a few other people. And then I recognized your name from one of the live streams and stuff. Uh-huh. And obviously the Instagram portfolio video. And I was like, oh God, what have we gotten ourselves into? What's going to happen? But it's all turned out, it's all turned out pretty well in the end, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, there's still like a couple of challenges left, but yeah. I mean, the thing is, there's another, what is it? I lost my thought train. okay, I think you should pick something up. I'm going to bring it up when it comes.
So when it comes to the future stuff and moving forward, what do you think at this point you've learned the most? Let's maybe not specifically design skill, but as in like your actual design ability for making visuals. What do you think you've learned the most from being part of this little group and Chris's videos and his feedback?
I think what I really learned is, I mean, it's not, I'm not sure I'll count this as a actual like skill, like hard skill, but it's more to do with my mentality about like, you know, approaching things, approaching projects or approaching any kind of thing is kind of changed in the sense that I think at least twice or thrice about it. And like, you know, in a way that it kind of gives me a better picture of how it will turn out rather than like jumping straight into it and producing the result. Hey, this is the output without really thinking it through. Like, you know, I used to do that a lot. I got a, hey, can you make this icon? All right, fine. I'm going to go back and do the icon for 1 hour and then come back with, without doing any research or doing anything. And I think that's the reason why I failed in the first one, the first challenge, which was the packaging one. I had this idea. I had this like thing in mind and I was like, hey, this will look cool. And I did that, you know, and it turns out it wasn't really for the right kind of thing. I mean, it was good. It wasn't a bad, you can say visual design, but it was a bad design for the thing that I was trying to do. So I learned that like, you know, while being on the show or, you know, trying to be like, you know, being in the group, is that, you know, you really have to think things through. You really have to, what do you say, sharpen the axe before you cut the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing.
Prepare that really the tools, do the research before you start trying to hack away at actually creating something. And I think I'd agree with you on that. One of the biggest things I think I have learned, and it to kind of reflect what you said, is the mentality, is the ability to now be presented with an inquiry and go, well, let's ask some questions about this. Let's ask questions and dig a little deeper and see where this goes first before taking anything on. I mean, I'm not sure how your process has changed in terms of design, but now if someone emails me, I don't just tell them my price straight away. I don't tell them exactly what we're going to do straight away. I get on a call with them like this and ask lots of questions because that's what you need to do. And that's the mentality that I think helps people go far.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like my, if someone asks, hey, what's the price for a branding or something, or like, hey, how much for this animation, this kind of animation? The first thing seriously I ask is, why do you need this? Like, you know, rather than telling them, hey, this will cost from this to this. But after a couple of, back and forth, if I kind of get a sense that they're just price shopping, I drop it right there and then rather than trying to approach it more like trying to convince them, hey, I'm the best guy or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, that I have really pulled away from being desperate for the job. I'm like, okay, fine. Like, you know, if it doesn't work out, I recently started, I mean, after the last live stream where we discussed about focusing, like, I want to focus on one thing because I'm all over the place. I got like 4 inquiries about logo, which were serious, identity design, which was serious. And I was like, I said no. And I referred to them to someone else who they could afford. It was really, seriously, I kind of felt very light about it. Like, hey, once you say no to something, it's not like, you know, it's not a burden or something. It's not a bad thing. You can say no to anyone, yeah. You know. So that has changed. The mentality has changed.
So you've gone from a scarcity mindset of, oh, I need this job to do everything, mm-hmm. to picking what you actually want to do and what will be fulfilling. Exactly. Now, yeah. Do you think that your mentality for that and you saying no is easier because you have kind of a stable income as well? Do you think if you were full-time freelance, you'd be doing the same?
I don't think so, that I'll be doing the same with so much frequency. I mean, like, you know,
yeah.
The amount of, like, you know, if there's 10 projects coming in and I feel like out of those 10, 8 are not the good fit, right now, since I have a stable income, I'm going to say no. But if I think if I was a full-time freelancer, I might have said yes to one or two of them. Like, you know, out of those 8, I would probably say no to. Because yeah. I that's, like, you know, thing is really, you have to pay the bills, right? So I still think that I would have done that. But a little bit lesser than what I used to do before.
Yeah, but that's the point. The point is that you're not saying this and saying it's easy just because you have kind of the stable income from behind you. And it's mm-hmm. one of those things that I think a lot of people don't realize is that you don't have to say yes to everything. It's something that uh-huh. I'm trying to share with my girlfriend Lydia at the moment as an illustrator, is that you don't have to say yes to everything. And she is being kind of taught in university at the moment that, well, you should just kind of say yes to everything and give your price and don't take deposits. Who does that? And all this type of rubbish that's being thrown. I know, right? it's a whole nother conversation, but
okay.
I don't want to kind of like bitch about it too much. But the point is that you don't have to say yes to everything. And in fact, saying no to stuff gives you more flexibility. And doing what you said, Arun, which is ask them why. And so mm-hmm. even going with a question, someone sent me an email yesterday that said, I'm looking for a logo. I have some ideas in mind. What kind of money would that cost to get made? I've got some references and this type. And I sent them an email back basically being like, I really appreciate the message, but if you want someone to bring your exact vision to life rather than making you a solution for your business, I'm not the designer for you. So that's quite a sharp and quite a blunt yeah. email and not something yeah. I would have sent a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But because you move away from scarcity mindset, you actually, they came back to me and they said, you're right. I'm sorry. I misworded that. I'd be more than happy to sit with you and discuss the best option.
Yeah.
So be honest and be transparent. And as you say, mm-hmm. you got to say no sometimes.
Yeah. And I have this similar story. Like, you know, it's not just about like saying why just to get them to open up. It's also about understanding what they actually need. Because yes. the thing is, sometimes people might think they need a video, but it can be done with a short loopable GIF or something. Like, you know what I mean, right? So the solution may not be exact straightforward. So, I mean, I had this project where this guy needed a animated GIF or something. And the reason I really dug into it, even though it was literally a half an hour job for me, and I was like, I really need to know it because I don't want the endless revisions. And once, because we had a 1 hour conversation about it, like, you know, why do they need it? Why do they think they need this here and things like that? And I kind of tried to, like, you know, tell him that, you know, this might be a better solution, even if they needed it on, like, you know, a short notice. And they were like, no, we really need this. And so once I presented him what I had done, he was like, yeah, that looks great, because I really understood what he really wanted. And yeah. I produced it in that manner, like, you know. So the revision cycle also ends there once you and your client are on the same page.
Yeah, when you don't have to, you shouldn't be fighting your client at any point.
Yeah, yeah.
As you said, you say sharpening the axe yeah. doesn't have to just mean doing the research. It also means asking the right questions so you mm-hmm. provide them with the right solution, because maybe you don't yeah. need an axe, maybe you need a shovel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah? Exactly.
I mean, I don't yeah. really know where this metaphor's going, but with those two pieces of kit, but you know,
yeah.
the point is that you can have the ability to say no, but you should also mm-hmm. spend the time to really do due process and mm-hmm. give people the time to give you all the details and all the information. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. if you were talking to yourself a year or 2 years ago, Arun, Do you think if someone came to you and said, I'd like a video for this, you would have just gone, yep, sure, it'll be X?
Yeah, yeah. It would have been that. It would have been that, like, exactly. But now it's more like, because sometimes you can't say no directly just because a project is not to your liking, or someone like from particular company is not to your liking or something like that. Once you start asking questions, you can also realize, like, you know, this might actually work out. This might actually be a better fit, because starting a conversation is much, much better thing than, like, you know, just shutting down everything that comes your way or something like that.
Yeah. And there definitely are people out there who will just turn down 90% of their projects without even considering them. But when you're doing that, you typically have hundreds of inquiries coming in a week. And you don't have the time to be anything other than a sharp no. But yeah, definitely would advise anyone who's getting into this industry or kind of beginning their own career, whether that's part-time or it's like a side hustle or doing this full-time, is that you need to avoid scarcity mindset. Because if you keep picking up bad clients or clients that don't fit you just because you think you need the money, or even if you do need the money, you're picking bad jobs just for the money, you'll only attract more bad jobs.
Yeah. Your work is not going to be good. And I was really stuck in this cycle for like 1.5 years when I started doing freelance with my job. Like I started doing part-time freelancing 3 years ago while on the job. And I was really, when I started, I was really stuck in like that cycle where I attracted that same level of clients, which was they needed something quick, they needed something cheap, and they needed something like, you know, with unlimited revisions. So I was stuck with that. And what I did was I really stopped doing freelancing for at least like 3-4 months. I stopped doing anything. And I just started reading about, like, you know, how to be a freelancer, basically, how to be like, you know, a person with a business or something like that, right? That's when I actually stumbled upon the future. And I was like, okay, you know what? So it's been a year now. I think I've made progress financially and as well in the quality of work that I put out. Because a lot of times when you're not really getting paid for the right amount, you might actually not have a so good work because you're not really into that thing. You just want to get the money. You just want the work to be finished.
Yeah, so, you're wasting time.
Exactly.
You, by doing work that you hate or work that's a bad fit and just saying yes, because obviously if you have a stable income and this is your side hustle, you can say no more regularly.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you're doing this full time, you still should be cautious, because if you are taking jobs, as you say, and you hate the work, you don't enjoy the client, you've, I don't know, said something foolish like unlimited revisions, never do that. Don't do that. Anyone listening, do not do that. It's really not. You will hate yourself for it.
Yeah.
And that will just lead you to taking and making more bad decisions.
Yeah. There have been times when I think it started the project and I took the, you know, non-refundable, like, what do you say? Advance payment. Yeah. Deposit payment and all these things. And we're in the middle of the project and it kind of realized, like, you know, this is not really going to work out. I mean, if it was tension from their side or if it was tension from my side, and if it is really early, like you only did the initial research, initial talk, and you're not really made something or anything, and if you feel like you haven't wasted a lot of their time, if you feel you want to go out, you can actually say, hey, I don't think this is going to work out. I can recommend someone else and give them back their deposit and be done with it, because you don't really want to go deeper in that, like, you know, mental state, which is like, I don't want to do this. Come on, just get it over with, or things like that.
Yeah, the stress is not worth it. I've been there and done that. The stress is not, it's never worth it. And especially when you're running your own business, you don't just have the clients and the projects to deal with. You have all the other admin and the marketing and every other department if it's just you. So to add more stress to that situation. So if you're a designer or an illustrator or a UX UI guy or whatever, your passion is in design typically. So whenever you go to do something like accounts or tax or website design or marketing or some things that you're not used to, that's already adding stress, because you're not used to it and you're not familiar. So you have to do the stressful thing of learning it. To then add stress to the thing you enjoy, which is designing, just will make you miserable. It made me miserable.
Yeah, it does.
And it's really good to hear that you've kind of overcome that mindset.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of the things that it felt like when I met you, that you were just saying yes to kind of get going and see what happens. And it seems like you've really grown from that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's also like I realized after I started doing this thing, which is like say no more often and like not really take anything that comes your way related to design. I mean, there was a point where I was doing UI design for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, there's so much like I feel like there's a lot of time that I wasted, like, you know, where I could have gone deeper into what I really wanted to, which was at that time graphic design. Rather than I tried to do everything, like, you know,
yeah,
which like, you know, paid me well or whatever. But I feel I wasted time there. I wasted a lot of time there. I could have grown my skill set and things like that, but I really didn't. And that's the only thing that I regret, like, you know, not being able to, you know, realize that what kind of, you know, where I was wasting time, basically. But now, like, you know, that's also what has changed. Like after the last call with Chris on the live stream where we were talking about the focus thing, I did a short survey and I kind of started to get a sense of what people really know me for, like, you know, and things like that. And I realized people know me for a lot of things, and there's not really one thing that, like, you know, really stands out. So I internalized, like, I did all the process, which was basically trying to see where the most of my income is coming from, what I really enjoy the most, which is like, you know, when you create something and you show it to someone or you see it yourself, there's a sense of joy sometimes, like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, most of the time that is what you're doing. You're trying to, like, you know, that happiness you're working towards, the happiness, hey, this is going to look amazing or this is going to look crazy, right? So I realized that was with the animation. I mean, I was doing animation for 2 years, but I wasn't really doing it, you know, on a deeper level. And this year I realized I took more animation jobs than I took graphic design jobs or logo identity, like, you know, brand identity jobs. And so I decided to, you know what, I'm going to do animation now. I'm going to say no to any graphic design or branding or UI job that comes my way. And I'm only going to say yes to animation, but specifically I'm only going to do it for software companies, because in 5 years of my professional experience, I've worked with a lot of software companies. I mean, 5 or 6. And I really understand how they work and, you know, how they want their product to be marketed and things like that. So I decided my niche market will be that, the software, like, you know, product companies, and I'll be doing animation just for them. So I'm in the process of rebuilding my portfolio and rebuilding my website and things like that, and rebrand Scientific Designs, basically. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. That was going to be my next question, which is, what do you recommend for people who want to find a niche, who want to find one specific thing they love? How did you go about that?
So there are two types of things. One is where people actually love everything they do, like all the mediums they work in. And there's another thing where people don't really love everything they do, but they really want to do it because it's a, you know, money thing, you know. So I was in the first group, which was where I actually loved graphic design. I really loved creating, but I started realizing that, you know, I think that's what most people should do. They should really kind of internalize. They should really think about it, like just take half an hour or 1 hour to just really think about yourself, like, you know, where you're going, where you have been, what you have been doing till now, and things like that. And I really realized that, hey, I'm getting more money from animation than I'm getting money from anything else, or the kind of clients that I'm getting. And, you know, and this is something, there's another thing, video is really getting popular now. So a lot of people really want to do video content. You know, it's not like that static content is going away, but video is really getting popular. So I was like, hey, I can also play on that thing where, you know, I can really make animations for people, explain animations or micro animations, things like that. And so I realized, I think I'm good enough to actually, you know, do work for someone. I mean, I know the software well enough. I know the techniques well enough. So, you know what, I'm going to do this. So I think that was my process which is basically internalized. I really thought through. I really didn't take me more than half an hour, 1 hour, because before this, I was just putting this off. I was like, no, I love everything else. No, I'm going to do everything else. What will happen if I don't get to do graphic design ever? And something Chris said, which really struck with me, was he's not saying that, you know, you should only do that. He's just saying, show the world that you only do that. You know, in my home, in my PC, I can have like tons of logos that I never show anyone. Maybe I can show it off once I'm really known for just animation. Like, you know, so I can pivot maybe in a few years or whatever. But right now, I really need to focus on something because I want to be known for something, just one thing. So,
and yeah, that's really good to hear that you've managed to condense down all the things that you love into finding one, or even just within one market, which is animation. You found so much joy as well, because when people think of going and niching down, they're like, oh, well, what if for some reason business cards go out of style and no one wants them anymore? Well, you find something else. But you want to be known for being the best in a certain area, or trying to be the best in a certain area. So you say you want to do animation for software companies. That's a very specific niche.
Yeah. But
even if you were to narrow it down and say, I just do animation and that's what I love, over the course of 3 or 4 years, you'd probably figure out what you just have, which is, well, I've been taking on a lot of jobs with, I don't know, craftsmen or blacksmiths or financial companies or lawyers or things like that. And you'd very quickly figure it out. But you're right. It avoiding it and ignoring it doesn't actually help you. In fact, it probably stunts your growth as a business.
Yeah. And there's one more thing that I was really afraid of, that I love helping people visualize their ideas, which is what my current website used to say. And I was like, if I do animation, how would I bring that into it? And I was really scared about all these things, losing all these skill sets that I have already have, it's literally a risk, changing careers in the middle of your, whatever. So I was really thinking about, once I had selected this, I really started framing it in a way that what can I do? And all the opportunities that I can get. So it's really that first step that you have to take, getting back to our productivity, thing that our talk we were having. It's really about just taking the first step. And once you take the first step, you get in the flow of that thing. Be it, it can be anything, picking your niche. Once you select something, you can really branch out from there. Hey, I can do this with this. I can do that with it. All these thoughts start coming in. So you're in a flow. So...
And there's nothing wrong with picking it and then changing it in 4 or 5 years.
There's no one stopping you from changing it midway. Hey, I want to do this, but no, I don't want to do it anymore. So nah.
I mean, I've been looking at the wall hanging you have behind you of the Tria rune.
Yeah.
So that's actually probably the best way to describe it. So for people who are not gonna be watching the video, Rune's got a beautiful is it fabric? It looks like a wall hanging.
Yeah, it's fabric. It's fabric. Yeah.
So it's a wall hanging of a tree. Now, if you imagine a tree and a rune's picked animation, the trunk of the tree is animation. And all the other branches, all the big branches, and then all the way down to the tiny little branches are the different places animation could go. So it's more of a case of planting the seed of whatever niche you want to be in, whether that's animation or branding or UI UX, and then going down that path and seeing where it takes you. Because it could take you in a whole... You pick one area, but that could take you 1,000 different ways.
That's the very good metaphor. Well, I mean, analogy.
You've literally got it hanging on a wall behind you. I couldn't not.
I think that's one of the reasons I picked it. I saw it and I was like, hey, that's a very good thing. I mean, it's a very, I don't know, but it kind of resonated with me in the sense that lots of opportunities and it's really... I mean, it's a sad tree, but it is a good looking tree.
At the same time, though, it's a good way to think about it, in that you can grow and change and adapt. And if you want to chop that tree down and plant another one, then by all means.
Yeah.
But you got to start with something, don't you?
Yeah.
Awesome. So thank you very much, Arun, for joining me on this week's episode of the Fowler Hour. I think we've talked quite a lot today. There's a lot of really good golden chunks of valuable information in this episode. And yeah, so where can people find you, Arun?
Okay, so right now my website is under construction, so I wouldn't recommend you going there, but still, it's thescientistx.com, or you can find me on my Instagram with the tag scientisticdesigns.
Awesome. Okay, all those links are going to be in the description, as always, for Arun, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of the other young guns on in the near future to talk about different...
Yeah, good luck with that.
...and what they've been up to. we shall see how that goes. But yeah, thank you very much for joining me today, Arun, and we'll catch you next time.